Jeff Kolff at least is, he's just on, you know, yeah.
Yes. Let's try and focus on what is at hand. Honorable Breitenbach, you want to leave at 2, so every minute counts to after 2. So every joke we add 10 minutes. Okay. Deputy Minister, yes, you're still saying.
No, thanks. Chair, it's basically then for the department to present the annual report or the presentation on the annual report. There's also one specifically on the financial issues. So there's two reports coming effectively. And if I can hand over to the acting DG, Mr. Jacob Skosana, J.B. Skosana, to lead the process.
Mr. Skosana.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister. Perhaps just briefly to introduce the delegation that I'm with today. At the far extreme, somebody's known the committee, Ms. Lebo Mphahlele-Ntsasa is the head of our strategy unit. Next to her is Ms. Korea Kok. It's a director in the office of the DG and also support to EXCO. Then on my left is known the CFO, and then we've got Mr. Donald Mpolo, acting DG for corporate services, and Ms. Bezaiden Hout, acting chief master, and Mr. Rodney Isaacs, acting chief litigation office and the state attorney's office. We have submitted to the secretariat, I'm sure members, honorable members have their presentations that will basically assist the deliberations today. We will take a two-pronged format. I think we suggest, subject to guidance by the chair in the house, that we start with the annual report presentation. In the annual report presentation, we wanted to basically give the highlights in terms of the outcome, assuming obviously that the honorable members would have studied the report, we not want basically to be more elaborative, but we wanted to zoom into those matters which, even from the annual report, are basically raising eyebrows and they remain a point of concern, so that we are able to basically to pave the way for a second presentation. The second presentation focuses on the audit outcome report, and was basically lead from what the minister presented earlier on in terms of coming with a concrete plan that basically should allow the department to move out of its current state of affairs, etc. And honourable members, as I've said, you have read the document. It is a mixed bag. We have had areas where we have done some strides, but equally we've had areas where we have basically not met the performance expectation as we close that administration, and we believe those are areas that we will basically deal with and also expect the committee's oversight guidance when we deal with the second report. And perhaps to avoid the overlaps in terms of questioning, because some of the questions on the second part, on the first part may basically be repeated or dealt with in the second presentation, I will request perhaps that with your indulgence that we make a full presentation of the two, so that the engagement can then fall on both presentations. The head of the strategy, if the chairperson allows us to comment, will then start with the department report, and then thereafter the CFO will go with the audit outcomes, and then I'll reflect some views, and perhaps the Deputy Minister will then round off the policy of the deliberations. The team members who are here are basically have been chosen in light of the main contentious issues from the annual report. We have left some of the colleagues behind so that we don't bring a huge delegation, but focus on matters that we had anticipated that the committee would basically be interested on, but will be able to respond to those, to the extent that we may need to be given an opportunity to come back with further answers, we'll gladly do so. Thanks, Chairperson. And then and with your indulgence, I will then allow Ms. Mpahlele Ntsasa to give an overview. The slides are voluminous. I'll ask her to reflect on basically those areas of contention, assuming that the members had read the presentation. Thanks, Chair.
Indeed, we have gone through the presentations, so we would like the presenters to focus on the important issues and not start with the mandate of the department and all of those issues. We know them. Just focus on the important issues. Because we did receive the documents and we have read the documents. I think we would like to follow the sequence as you have requested, that they both present, and then we will have a message from both presentations.
Thanks, Chair, Honourable Members. On slide number 2, we show the contents. In this presentation, we will deal with important issues around policies, performance and organizational overview, and then we'll deal with programs 1, 2, 3, and 5. NPA is not included in this report because they have dealt with theirs yesterday. Now, I take you then to slide number 7. This is the issue then on the topical issue of gender-based violence. And just to report on this policy that we are working with other government departments and other important role players to develop a gender-based violence and femicide policy in line with the resolutions of the summit of November 2018. So it's very important to let the members know that we are working on it and that progress is being made in that regard. I think slide number 8, issues of TRC, things are ongoing. I won't handle those. And then on slide number 9 on the TRC, just to report there that the missing persons task team has finalized the exhumation and handover of remains of Taboram Mutle and Priscilla Musube, who was also known as Kukizwani. And on top of that, that with regards to the Gallows project, there were 9 more freedom fighters that were handed over, and that there are 59 that we have done to date, and there are still 24 that we are working on as a department. And on the organizational overview, I take you then to slide number 12. That deals with how we did on the overall, looking at the entire set of indicators that we were reporting against. We had 101 indicators to report, and 74 of those were achieved. So on the overall, then, we had 73% of the targets achieved. And within program 1, we set at 43%. Program 2, we were at 75%. Program 3, 83%. Program 4 of the NPA, I'm sure they've reported this one, at 63%, and our last program at 100%. Inside this document, then, I will deal with the important issues, and where we haven't achieved targets, I will also touch on that. Perhaps just to touch on the key highlights of the department on slide number 13. We do a lot of work in the department, and some of it might not reflect in the performance targets, and that is why these 2 slides lead us to show what else are we doing that's important for access to justice and policies, etc. And I want to mention the first one being Western Cape, the alignment of provincial and ministerial districts were completed as far as maps and boundaries were done. But I must emphasize that the implementation is still underway, but the paperwork around the alignment of Western Cape, ministerial districts, and provincial boundaries have been done. So what that means is that this enables people to access justice closer to where they live. And with regard to small claims courts, we have completed 3 in the financial year, and that brought the total to 415. And on top of that, the monetary jurisdiction was increased from 15,000 to 20,000 in that year, but it took effect on the 1st of April this year. Sexual offences we've touched on, and I think peace we'll also touch on later. The paperless estate is in the document later. Slide number 14, other key achievements as they continue. With regards to video remand technology, this technology enables us to postpone cases without bringing the suspects to court. And of 48 magistrates' courts were then linked to 23 correctional facilities through the system, and 17,271 criminal cases were remanded using this system. I must also add that it's not perfect. There are areas where it's not working as well, and those are being identified and are being addressed. And there is some change management process that is underway to ensure increased usage of the system. With regards to civil mediation, we continue to roll out courts that issue civil mediation, and that has grown from 80 to 134. But I must also mention that mediation is not happening as yet due to the fact that people need to pay for mediation services, and we have to now put together a plan around how to cost mediation services, if at all, and put mechanisms in place to ensure that the mediation results in a cheaper service or a more cost-effective service as was anticipated. With regards to the court recording technology, we are at the end of the process, and we have finalized by the end of the financial year, we were at 2,145 and 47 mobile units that enable us to assist periodical courts. Those were finalized then at the end of the financial year. Similarly, for Moja Pay, this is a system that enables us to pay maintenance beneficiaries quicker and more efficiently, and we have implemented in 8 provinces and 15 offices of the state attorney. Now coming to the challenges on slide number 15, we were operating in a challenging environment during the year under review. We had ongoing budget issues, and those budget issues also resulted in us not having been able to fill all the vacant posts that we've had. So how we've adjusted as a department is we do more with less. So we identify critical posts, we ensure that at the service points that we hire as many people as we can, but making sure that we do more with less. And on the issue of a senior management level, we struggle to fill LP10 posts. Those are specialist legal practitioners and at the top and are top leaders within the department. This is an issue that we've been having, and there are ways underway to ensure that we can still hire people at those levels without using the LP10 route. So we are aware of the problem that we've been engaging with, and we are solving it. And then another issue is the commissions of inquiry. We were quite busy as a department. We are a supporting department to commissions of inquiry, so a number of people within the department assist in putting them together and assisting them in whatever ways they can. But on top of that as well, we've had to deal with investigations within our own department as well. And this is one of the challenges that we were dealing with in the year. And on top management, we have 5 of the top 10 top management posts that are vacant. And I think the minister has already alluded to the fact that we are addressing those. Slide 16, under organizational overview. We've had audit issues within the department, I think, in the last 3 years. And this has coincided in a way with the fact that we have been having ongoing budget challenges, and we had to get rid of, we had to reduce the number of staff that were on contract posts, and then we were struggling to address our audit issues. But the audit report is going to be detailed by the CFO after here. From a budget point of view, on slide number 17, we note on that slide that although on the overall the average growth over the 3 years of our budget is only 2%, as shown on the board. We've had challenges where we were not spending the budget as we would have loved to. In particular, is capital spending. There has been a decrease, and we are working with the Department of Public Works to ensure that we don't face that challenge again on spending on capital budgets. But the good thing that we can report is the accruals creditors paid after 30 days. As a department, we've done very well, so we only have we have decreased that amount by 35% of invoices that you can pay over 35 days. Then on slide number 18, some of the cost drivers that we have as a department, we are not addressing as quickly as we would like to. Although the spending in rand, if you check on the screen, we have only had an 8% increase in the budget, or an average over 3 years of 8%. For building and leases, we've had a 10% growth. For electricity and water, 15%, and security services, 15%. So those are some of the issues that we are aware of, and we are working as best as we can to address. And then on slide number 19, we are happy that some of those cost drivers we have managed to address. For example, the issue of psychological evaluations, we are down from where we were on average. The issue of stationery and the issue of legal services, the issues of psychological evaluations is the one that we've done well in, because we have decreased it by 4%. The three other psychological evaluations, consumables and legal services, have been increasing. And the one for witnesses, we have managed to curb as well. So in total, if you look at slide number 20, we have been told by the National Treasury as well that our budget needed to be cut again in January. And at the bottom line there, it shows now the total reduction in 2018-19 was 1.6 billion, and in 2019-20, a further 915 billion. So that's it. And then on program performance, I'm going to take you through areas that are of concern. Under Program 1, we are not going to mention any of those. We're going straight then to Program 2. Now, slide number 30 deals with the number of cases on the criminal case backlog. It's one issue that we have been dealing with over a number of years, the accuracy and completeness of that. This indicator was still qualified in this current financial year, but on a different matter. So we have somehow addressed the issue of completeness of the number of cases that are being recorded, and we have issues around the system, how it calculates those numbers. So we are addressing that, but CFO will touch on that as we deal with the audit issue. But in that regard, then, the number of criminal cases on the backlog roll sits at 43,862, a little off target, but more accurate also compared to last time. And then, on slide number 31, case management system for appeals and reviews, we could not finalize it on time as we would have loved to. But it's one area that we know is a service delivery issue that we are going to address. The issues here lie with the business requirements that changed during the year, and we are happy that going forward, the pressing issue of appeals and reviews will be dealt with. And I think then let me move on to other areas of concern. On slide number 34, the Minister has already mentioned that the number of courts that we do, the sexual offences courts, we have done fairly well. The closed circuit television is a bit of a problem within sexual offences courts. They sometimes break. We've had major issues of procurement there. But in that year, we at least managed to address procurement issues. Not soon enough during the year, because once we've addressed those, we could not then finalize the number of courts that needed to get their CCTV upgraded. But we are confident that going forward, this issue of CCTV cameras not working have now been sorted out. And the issue under slide number 35, I want to touch on issues of femicide because they are topical in the country. Our department is tasked with developing a system called Femicide Watch. This system enables us to track, identify all cases of femicide so that we understand the nature of this crime, how it happens, to who, and for under what conditions. So we are in a process of developing that, and we've met our milestones. On 4.4, where we talk about the National Register of Sexual Offences, during the beginning of the financial year, we identified the cases that needed, that were pending, that needed to be re-looked at, all the paperwork and all the processes to check that indeed they should be recorded on the National Register of Sexual Offences. That work was completed. But it was noted in this house as well that the approach to the Register of Sexual Offences is being looked at. So once we get direction, the way we deal with the National Register of Sexual Offences would then change. Then on the issue of family, on slide number 36, 37, and 38, we did fairly well on the work. But perhaps, I think we've done well there. Slide number 39, where we deal with the building of courts. Firstly, I think we've already mentioned the issue of Western Cape under 6.1, where we talked about the rationalization of ministerial districts and provincial boundaries. It's fine. Under 6.2, number of court buildings completed. Our intention was to complete Boysen, Plettenberg Bay, and Mpumalanga. And I can report that the Plettenberg Bay and Boysens were completed on time. Mpumalanga was completed by the end of the financial year. However, the certificate of occupation was only given after the closing date. So I can report that the court is completed and is being used at the moment. And then under slide 40, we did mention the issue of civil mediation, that the tariff issues are being addressed, so we skip that one. And then under policy 543, a number of policies were being dealt with during the year, and these policies, I must note, were prepared to be dealt with by the minister. The targets were achieved because they were dealt with by the minister. But since we've got a new administration now, this is the work that will then continue into the new administration, and work will continue from then. We are done now with program 2. We are going to program 3. Slide number 47 deals with the master's area. Within the master's area, the paperless estate administration service enables us to deal with deceased estates in the magistrate's courts, because we only have a few master's offices, but this can then be dealt with within the magistrate's courts. And we were targeting to finalize, to make peace available in 30 service points. We only managed to get it to 27. With regards to MOVIT is a fingerprint system that we work with closely with Home Affairs. We wanted to roll it out to 15 service points. We got to 17. And there were budget issues and operational issues that we needed to deal with. But to reassure people in the house that we are committed to grow the service points, and going forward, we will ensure that we perform more of this going forward. And the turnaround times within the master's area with regards to letters of appointment and liquidation and distribution accounts are fairly okay, except with the trust under slide 50. And the issue there deals with the retrieval of files that we are aware of, and that we have already then dealt with as a department. Then just to take you to slide number 51. With state attorneys, to mention on that slide there that the aim of the department is to always increase the number of people that we brief. We want to ensure that we don't brief the same people each and every time, and that we increase that number. And in the year under review, we briefed 1,467 counsel that were not briefed the previous year. So this is a good achievement for us, and we are proud of. And on slide 52, how we increase the number of people briefed is we do it through briefing patterns. And under 10.1, we had a target to allocate 80% of briefs to PDIs. We go to 83%. When we talk about the value of the briefs, we've allocated to female counsel. Our target was 27%. We go to 28%. And on the number of briefs to female counsel, our target was 40%. We went to 41%. And as I've indicated, the breakdown of this information will be made available. With regards to costs, on slide 53, the aim of the or our objective is really to reduce cost of litigation of the state. And through the years, we have been targeting a decrease, and we have been getting an increase. And to note on that slide that in fact in 2017-18 we had a 12% increase in costs. But in the year under review, in 2018-19, we had only a slight increase of 1%. Our target was a 5% reduction, but we got a 1% increase. But like I said, the typical increases that we got in the previous years were double digits, and this time around, although we missed the target, we only then got 1%. So it's an area to note there as well. And in fact, if you compare the total amount of legal costs that were recorded, 1.82 billion in 2017-18 compared to 1.83 billion in 2018-19 now. If you want two decimal points, this would be 0.65% reduction or 0.65% increase in costs. Sorry about that. And then just to take you to slide number 54, where we've indicated on the board there, the version that we've got shows 11.1 as red. That has been addressed, supposed to be green, because the reduction in capital amounts, our target was 60% reduction, and this reduction is done through negotiations. It means the state attorneys need to go open the files, read carefully, and this engagement enables them to then negotiate the capital amount to as little as possible, and we are glad that we got a 98% reduction. But this, although in that year, was due to one or two big cases, but it's a green nonetheless. And then moving on, areas of concern, I think we are now done with state attorneys. Let me see what else is topical. With regards to international treaty obligations, I'm now on slide number 60. The level of compliance against treaties and international obligations, we would like 100% compliance, but the shortcoming with our compliance deals with the finalization of reports, and this is detailed on page 61. And on that page, I think this page is slightly different from yours as well. We were targeting to finalize 4 country reports, and they are on the bullet there. We only finalized 3, an International Covenant of Economic, Social and Cultural Rights. It's called ICESCR, and the second one is ACHPR, and the last one is Common Core. And the fourth one that we're meant to finalize is a convention against torture and cruel or degrading treatment of punishment. The CAT it was not on the list that was provided, but this is the four that we're supposed to finalize. And we then finalized 3, but just to note that on the African Charter, although we finalized our bit, the report itself was not submitted because of outstanding work from the Department of Women. We've done our part, but not the Department of Women.
Sorry, I must just interrupt. There's a problem with the accuracy of this information. The Convention Against Torture report was submitted, I think it was in 2016-17. We did the presentation last year. In this financial year. Yeah, it was in this financial year. So that is not correct. And the African Charter, as Lebo has said, report could not be submitted because it's an A part and a B part, and the B part is compiled specifically by Department of Women, but the two have to go together. But that Convention Against Torture, Lebo, should not be there.
Okay. My apologies. We identified errors with this slide yesterday, and I thought we tried to fix it, but DM indicates that there are still issues. We will then provide the correct information there to the House. Thanks, DM, for pointing it out. Then on slide number, that is all. On slide number 32, we have dealt effectively with extradition and mutual assistance issues. We've met our turnaround times. There are different players. We have our own turnaround times we've met. And the bilateral agreements that we have reported that we have dealt with in the year is Brazil, United Arab Emirates, and Bangladesh, and this is detailed in the annual report. I think the next issue that I would like to deal with is still under Program 3, slide number 66. Okay, slide number 66. All the issues around human rights, the number of awareness campaigns and issues of the programs on knowledge of constitution and grants, etc., all this information we've achieved, but it's listed in the annual report. I would like people to go and get the detail of it, because it's very important work that deals with human rights issues that are also topical in our department. And similarly, slide 67 and 68 deal with that. Within TLC, under slide 69, community rehabilitation projects, we were meant to finalize five community rehabilitation, or to finalize plans for five of those. We did not manage to finalize one. And this is due to difficult consultative processes that must happen under TLC. We are aware the department is putting some effort, but it does not always result in a green for us, but we do work with communities to ensure that we get to finality. And I think then that is the end of the presentation. All others are green. And just to go to slide number 73 as well, the issue of IJS is always mentioned. I think the minister mentioned it as well, that we've got eight departments that are dealing with or are now connected to the transversal, the SEPs, NPA, DOJ, Legal Aid South Africa, Home Affairs, Correctional Services, Social Development, and Business Against Crime on the issue of vehicle information. So I just wanted to touch on that. But Chair, then this is the end of my report. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think we have really presented well within time. I hope that even the other presentation will be straight to the point.
Just a point, Chair. The motherboard is very precise on time, but the entities take an hour. So I hope they will share with them.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair, honourable members. We've been very frank with you in all our engagements. We already gave you financial outcomes when we met the first time with you this year on budget. During our first quarter report, we already shared challenges with you. So we are moving straight into what we are doing about it in this area. I always seem to be apologizing to this forum. I just want to indicate that we gave you a report, well in time this time, which actually gave an analysis, or we attempted to give an analysis of what needs to happen to resolve the challenges and to give some context. Yesterday when we were discussing this matter also with the minister, he indicated that we shouldn't wait for quarter two to tell you what we are doing about it. We should give you a progress on our audit action plan implementation. So therefore, I will start on slide 16, which you do not have. So my apologies for that, but this amendment came, as I say, after due discussion with the minister. What we need to understand, because from the presentation that you had, you could understand what went wrong and what needs to happen to fix it. But the question then immediately comes to mind, what went wrong in our audit action plan? So we want to be very clear that in the main, the unresolved action plan items that impacted on our audit outcomes are related to systemic challenges that require policy interventions. And here we can name specifically the Office of the State Attorney, the Governance on Infrastructure, and ICJS. Other challenges related to aligning our human resources in critical areas after the significant budget cuts, where core services were prioritized and that impacted on core services such as asset management and performance information management in the regions. There are some systemic challenges that we need to resolve with National Treasury, first being the moratorium on the new systems whilst we are waiting for IFMS rollout, and at the same time reducing compensation of employees. You would understand that if we do not have ERP systems and you reduce your people that are supposed to be doing the internal control, you are in trouble. And as a main, that is one of our challenges, especially on asset management, which I shared with you the last time as well. Vetting of service providers on the CSD, that is something that the National Treasury will have to do, because that will prevent findings on fraudulent declarations of interest in the bidding process. Because the department does not have access to all personal, all salary systems of other departments to really see whether other officials are doing business with us from other departments. So the CSD needs to be cleaned up. Then the other aspect is the finalization of amendments to the PFMA and the procurement regulations. Due to the challenges that I explained to you also in our last meeting, where there is now a different interpretation from the AG on tenders and how to deal with extensions and awards. And then the last one is the consideration of investment government-wide in the professionalization of supply chain management, including filling of critical strategic level contract management posts and strategic sourcing posts. The challenge there is that we do not have high-level positions, and when we get into trouble, we must defend ourselves where a post-level 7 clerk has done the work. We need to defend ourselves against senior counsellors and senior fraud investigators. So we need to actually invest in supply chain as a profession, I would say. Our priority areas for intervention. Those are the matters that we say this year that we will be reporting to the minister on, is improving the stability in the organization by resolving the filling of key positions and addressing the capacity gap in administration that stems from some of our unresolved audit action plan items of the previous year. And we also need to resolve our leadership positions, the vacancies. The realignment of the departmental structure and finalization of priority areas in the departmental structure within the existing budget. The improvement of the interim governance arrangements of our department and the NPA until future arrangements have been finalized by Cabinet. Improving the record keeping, daily and monthly controls of performance information to ensure the integrity of reporting on performance for both the department and the NPA. This is not just for the department. The disposal of old movable assets and improving on asset replacement planning. The improvement of the governance of the Office of the State Attorney that speaks to procurement, declaration of interest, improvement of controls over payments, and recovery of debt. And some of our solutions, we also say we need to sign MOUs with our client departments or the 5 that use us the most. And then Guardian Fund policies as it relates to the administration of GPS transactions as well as the administration of future maintenance payments. And then from a proactive risk management perspective, we need to improve our combined assurance in the department. Now I'm getting to the progress on these matters. What have we done so far? As it relates to asset management, the structure of supply chain asset management and internal control has been approved, and HR processes are underway for filling of the posts. The disposal of old movable assets and improving on asset replacement planning. What we are doing there is we've adjusted our JIP legacy system to include lifespan in order to improve our planning and availing of budget. We've implemented a verification of assets and disposal plan, or we're busy implementing it. So we have this, the plan is there and being measured. And we're even meeting now Friday to deal with the practicalities of replacing and disposal of IT equipment. In other words, how are we going to replace a computer that you are working with a new one and disposing at the same time? We're trying to resolve some of those issues. Then a meeting with National Treasury already has already been arranged to finalize the way forward on the replacement of the legacy system, given their moratorium on new systems. And the rest of our provinces, we will finalize by the end of February 2020 in terms of disposing old movable assets. The engagement with National Treasury on systemic issues already occurred, and follow-up meetings to continue until matters are resolved. The progress on performance information, that's on slide 20. The ICMS systems in courts have been improved. Standard operating procedures and an oversight committee has been implemented at national office. We're also in the process of doing an assessment of the state of alignment of resources in the value chain in accordance with court utilization. And there are pilots underway in the Eastern Cape and KZN in the hope of resolving our performance information challenges. And the training of prosecutors on utilization of the ECMS is currently underway. In relation to the state attorney, we received feedback from the National Treasury on the interim procurement model. The framework contract that is being dealt with by National Treasury as a permanent solution is at specification stage, and our condemnation request for irregular expenditure has already been submitted to National Treasury. And then key positions have already been advertised, and we interviewed heads of office positions. Progress then on slide 21 on the Guardian Fund. The Guardian Fund policies as it relates to the administration of GEPF transactions has been agreed to the Minister and is being negotiated with the GEPF currently. The administration of future maintenance payment, that position must still have been consulted, and the department must still just finalize its policy position by the end of this financial year. And then the specification for the development of the new system has been finalized by our specifications committee. You would understand that the Guardian Fund, although it has a clean audit, still work on a legacy system. So it is actually a lot of hard work and dedication that goes into achieving that clean audit. And that is all from our side.
Thank you, Chair, honourable members. I may just say that the addition that we have made on the audit outcomes follows the meeting we had with the minister today as part of developing the plan to address our audit challenges on one hand, as well as to address our performance information on the other hand. And there has been a firm commitment from the ministry, instruction from the ministry, that ExCo will need to submit that plan by the end of this month, so that basically we should basically align that plan with the MTSF process currently underway in cabinet. And I think that's the plan that the ministers at the appropriate time will then start to monitor and make sure that we do not fall back into the repeat qualifications as well in the past, and also to make sure that there's clear traction from our current areas of challenges to the areas of improvement. The biggest intervention will be what relates to the alignment
of human resources with the budget processes. I think there have been a lot of cuts. The budget cuts have led to the contract employment being done away with, etc. Now what we are doing, we are busy focusing the people we have in the system, the ones that we are able to pay their salaries, to realign them to areas of priority, core and core functions, and also areas of where we've experienced qualifications, etc. And I think we'll be doing this process incrementally. We've started with the two provinces, Eastern Cape and KZN, and then we'll be basically rolling out the best practices to all the other provinces, so that we hope that within the remainder of this financial year we'll have made greater progress in addressing the issues of alignment of our structure vis-a-vis our core functions and areas where we still have the greatest concern, etc. So it's about the numbers game, making sure that we put people where they are required because of the budget cuts. The budget cuts have caused us to work differently. We can no longer allow to have extra people sitting where there's no need. We just have to put whatever we have to best use, because there's no way we are going to get money coming into the fiscals anytime soon. But unless the Deputy Minister wanted to run off in some other areas, I think the team is around here to respond to issues, etc., that may come from the honourable members. Thank you, Chair.
Your last statement is very interesting, which means the budget cuts, you are saying that they are an efficient allocation of resources. Because if you had people who were sitting there not doing anything, and the budget cuts have addressed that, which means they've dealt with the core problem of poor planning and throwing money at problems. So it might not be all bad. It is forcing us to be more, to apply ourselves more. So this is my take from your last statement, that there is the good and the bad parts of these budget cuts. They're facing managers to really manage and apply themselves, and not move from an assumption that there's abundance of money, that for any problem we can be able to throw money at it. Honourable members, these are the presentations from the department. I will now note hands. Honourable Hisham Mohammed, Honourable Jelle, Honourable Gladys Breitenbach, Honourable Horn, Honourable Laude, Honourable Mfukeng, Honourable Vermani Voltrachen, Honourable Janje, in that order.
Sorry, Chair, to interrupt. Not specifically for the question part, but can I ask that the revised presentation be emailed, because the presentation was too fast for me to have a good look. So please email those changes to us, the updated one, please. Thank you.
I don't think the department will have a problem with that.
Okay,
very good. Honourable Mohammed.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the department for the concise presentation on the detail of the annual report. We both welcome the minister's input earlier, but more in particular the detail that has been presented. Chair, borrowing from Gramsci, there are certain things that are good from the old and must be used if it works. All is not gloom, as you pointed out, based on the presentation made. And perhaps it's opportune to just start by acknowledging certain positives. The Legal Practice Council, we're very excited about it. That is last got going this financial year, past financial year. We noticed the long-awaited appointments of several magistrates. In fact, the report showed 176 magistrates. We acknowledged the National Policy Framework on Trafficking Persons that the DA was referring to. We acknowledged the opening of the small claims court in reaching the poorest of the poor on the ground. And we acknowledge, of course, very important in the current phase of our democratic revolution, the action plan on the combat of racism by the department. So very well done there. Of course, they say unless our administration is in good state, it's going to be difficult moving forward to deliver the core mandate. And so my area I wanted to just focus perhaps, Chair, is the AG finding. As I said yesterday, the Auditor General briefed us last Tuesday on all the entities as well as the department, as well as correctional services and the OCJ. And there were emphasis on certain areas, which I think is critical for the decisive leadership intention that is required, as the acting DG pointed out. And unless the department considers virtually policing, as the minister pointed out, an audit matrix for the year moving forward, besides the agreements that has been satisfactorily mitigated by the Treasury, it seems that the Chief Financial Officer was outlining. But there are specific zooming areas. One is, of course, the AG pointed out that there were possible procurement irregularities in the risk and security environment at the request of the department itself. The department requested this investigation, as we acknowledge. And perhaps we need an update on the so-called Sizwe-Gobodo report, just where it is currently. Because the quicker we dispose of bad practice of the past, the better moving forward. Because that also affects morale of the rest of the staff, as we all know. Then, Chair, in the same way, that also applies to the state attorney investigation that the minister was alluding to. And I think that was pointed out in the annual report on page 175, just for more clarity. Chair, then the other area, of course, of concern is the contingent liabilities, as the AG pointed out. I think it amounts to about, 2.1 billion rand. That it seems we didn't, those are the concerns of claims, in fact 2.3 billion against the department. And didn't estimate the likely claims. Is that the case? And what is the plan moving forward on contingent liability in particular? Then, Chair, on the whole issue of... Sorry, just to get my notes. We notice also from the expenditure report that the compensation of employees, 112 million rand, were under expenditure there. I think... just for the sake of completeness, we should just get it. That should be explained. I know more or less what arose there, but I think it's important for the record because the annual report doesn't go far enough to explain that particular phenomenon. It's very important. Then, Chair, jumping to another area, in the interest of time, we heard from the Human Rights Commission last week when they presented to us that they were concerned, the chair was indicating they were concerned that the Equality Review Committee is not as active. That's the committee in terms of Section 32 of the Promotion of Equality and Prevention Act. What is the status there? That's been revised because it seems it will enable the functioning of this particular area be more clarified, and they couldn't answer that, and I think they refer the matter to the department. Maybe we need clarity there on that one. Chair, as I move on, there is one area of HR that's concerning, it keeps coming up. I looked at the 2017-18 report, and I see it's here again. There is this matter of the DDG constitutional development, where that matter has it been finalized, what is happening, another a negative aspect that should be fast-tracked, the quicker the better. The Lafoy, I think that's the lady's name, shouldn't that be disposed of? And whether it affects the output of the branch itself, very important. Coming to the conclusion, on the already pointed out on the annual financial statement, besides contingent liabilities, the claims on the recoverable or collection of debt has been another area of concern. The SIU yesterday also have issues with regard to certain entities in government in recovering or the payment that they refer to. They seem not to get cooperation, whether the department at a accounting officer level is engaged in that process, and if so, what is that? So that we can, because we know that the funding model there for the SIU is not necessarily complete, but they do rely on that little fund that comes in there. That's very important. There's the current funding model, which is not ideal. We know that. So maybe I'm talking about the most specific legal fees in the case of any financial statement. The amount is 1 billion rand, just over 1 billion rand. And there's an increase, of, I think, of 500 million. We just need some clarity on that one, Chair. Then on the procurement and contract management, I'm referring to the 2017-18 to 2018-19 outcomes. We have been told that some goods and services with contract value of above 500 were procured without inviting competitive bids. And then there are those, which is easier, goods and services under 500, normally delegations at a certain level of management, as you know. They didn't obtain a simple price quotation. The point there is, are those listed in this action taken or not? In the departments such as ours, justice, I think we have been economical with action when it comes to that, comparatively with, and that's very important. Maybe there is outcomes, we need to know that. The same applies with instances where persons in the service of the department whose close family members or partners associated with their private business interests in contact awarded to the department. This is the AG speaking. Are there such? Can we list them? And what were the actions relating to that? Recognizing people's rights of defense, etc. Then lastly on the AG, on this is no operational performance. AG queried the reliability, and I think Ms. Lebo referred to that earlier, that the number of criminal cases, this is not the target, whether it's achieved and whether that's reliable, the number of criminal cases on the backlog on the lower courts, as well as the one on percentage of child justice preliminary inquiries finalized within 90 days after first appearance. Maybe you want to comment on that also as we move forward. So then, as I end, the status, this one I want to know really, a status of the policy of insolvency practitioners. We know there's this judgment that was for, that confirmed the Western Cape High Court judgment that declared the policy of appointment of insolvency practitioners unconstitutional. That was last year, July. What have happened with this? This is a key transformative policy or factor that affects thousands of people. And have the department picked this up to correct that policy, or is it relying on the interim policy currently being applied by the master? Where are we with that one? Very, very important. Chair, let me end say lastly, constitutional development spending, we noticed 80% of the budget, there was a 15% underspending. Did that affect? That's an area obviously very, very important for access to justice when it comes to promoting our constitution. Maybe some reflection on that too. Thank you very much. Let me pause there, Chair. Awesome. Thanks.
I will appeal to honorable members not to repeat answers to questions that have already been asked. I think you have asked questions, so if there are questions that Honorable Mohammed has already asked, please don't repeat them. Honorable Jelle.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, indeed, one will not repeat those questions, but somewhere we'll need to emphasize something, Chairperson. While the committee is acknowledging the ongoing budget cuts, which is meant for the department, and also, Chairperson, we note that that act or that move hampers progress, particularly on the staff reduction establishment, and it also undermines the work that is done in terms of transformation and responsive justice system. But Chairperson, there are quite a number of issues that we need to look into. When it comes to the report of the AG, but I would want the Chairperson also to just to comment on the report also of the NPA. The NPA gave us a very damning report in terms of the occurrences. One of those ones is this one that we have with the Honorable Mohammed just mentioned, of the increase on the backlog of the cases. But also that I want to note, Chairperson, from yesterday is that, and in front of the Deputy Minister, is that the community is losing faith in us. From the report that we got yesterday, that reporting of cases has decreased. I think that's one a matter that we need to look into, and I'm sure those people are women, because statistics tells us that women in 30 minutes, as we are sitting here, maybe there are three or two women who are killed. In line with EGBV. But Chairperson, I want the Minister to note that the report of the AG is really putting a very bad picture. And I would also comment on the discrepancies between your report and the report of the AG. I think Honorable Mohammed has already mentioned, and that was also confirmed by the correction of the Deputy Minister in front of us. That tells us that the officials, they are not taking this very serious. I had the comment of our sister, the Chairperson, when she was saying they have been frank with the committee coming and present to us. It's not a favor. This is not a favor. Those reports have to come. You have to come and present, and you have to present the your presentation should be of high standard. That takes me to the comment of the AG also, where the AG is commenting on the your bed or the status. Okay, just to be nice. The status of the department, which is very bad according to them, because it is bad. I'm saying it is bad, Chairperson, because the department, we are having qualified audit for the two succession years. So it means there's something wrong that is happening within the department, that the management, the senior management is not getting right. And the comment of the AG about that put blame squarely on the failure of the management as a factor in the poor, in this poor outcome of the audit report. So that has to be noted, Chairperson. The department must begin to examine itself and come up with those drastic changes. With respect to the Deputy Minister. Deputy Minister, I'm just going to prove that some of the discrepancies that are coming from these presentations that you have today. Let's go to the domestic violence statistics. Here, the report, we are noting that the percentage increase on domestic violence abuse cases, Chairperson. Here we've got 209. Let's go to. I think it's in terms of your report. Yeah, because I've made a note on the site. The only mistake that maybe I have done is just to get the page. But I think you can also check from there because I was making notes when I was reading this thing.
I think they will.
They will check it.
Yes.
Please check. Process. Make sure that you check it. This is in compared with 2017-2018, which is the increase of 389,573,000 in 2018-19. This represents 85%, not 54%. You are saying it's 54% as it is reported in your annual report. And then also that one which Honorable Mohammed just gave, it is on the issues of maintenance. There are lots of problems on this maintenance, and I think when you came here last time, we indicated to the department that they must also focus on that area, Chairperson. According to the AG, the audited value was 73%. That one is on the maintenance matters that are finalized. You are saying it's, you exceeded your target with 82% against the target of 70%, and the AG says no. Here, it's 73%, not 82. So what are you saying? It's not only that one. It also goes back to the number of criminal cases on the backlog roll in the lower courts. You are saying, okay, it's not achieved. According to the AG, the audited value was 53,731,000, not 43, as you are reporting. So these are the issues, Chairperson, that takes us back and say, this department, there's a lot that is happening that has to, we must make sure that it is closely monitored, Chairperson. On this irregular expenditure and wasteful and fruitless expenditure, Chair, it's very, very concerning that the department report increase. Particularly in fact, we need to check on those supply chain management and procurement, the procurement area. This is irregular, fruitful expenditure, Chairperson, that it is even dating back. It's not something that is for 2018-2019. You date back even 2018-2017. So it means the department is still not ready. It's not still prepared to make sure that they assist us to get improvement on that one. So it is bad, Chairperson. On eradication gender-based violence within this decade, the department tabled 2017-18 report on the implementation on the criminal law, sexual offences and related matters, Chairperson Act. The Fifth Parliament, we note that when we read that the Fifth Parliament made a suggestion that there must be some engagement on this one. And I think that we need to follow up that one, Chairperson. We must arrange a joint brief on the report as soon as we have time, Chairperson, because we have to sit down with the department and make sure that. On the transformation, lastly, Chairperson, legal profession, we recommend that there must be a support on black legal practitioners, especially black women. We must make sure that all those obstacles that persist or we get in making sure that our women get what they deserve. They are put at the status where they have to be equally with their men counterparts. It happens. We need to make sure that we, the department makes sure that it becomes their baby to make sure that women are given space in order to make sure that they perform like they prove themselves in actual fact, because they are good, Chairperson. We are good indeed. It's just that we're not given an opportunity. There's also, Chairperson, I think this is the last one, would like to make comments on the underspending. This underspending is happening in the Magistrate Commission on this part of the subcommittee's Magistrate Commission, Chairperson. In 2018-19, the Commission spent only 70.6% of its budget, which is 13,000.8 million of the budget of 19.6 million. This is great expenditure, Chairperson. We must make sure that this does not happen. And on also on the administration of courts, this one, Chairperson, it is very sensitive, because our women, when they come to report these issues, in fact, when their cases come to the court, they have to get their cases have to be professionally and taken care in a manner that things does not compromise their cases, Chairperson. So we cannot understand or tolerate under expenditure on this area. In 2018-19, the department spent 92.3% of its budget on this sub-program. Underspending of 44.9 million, Chairperson, is recorded. In 2017-18, the department spent only 91.7% of its allocated, resulting in underspending of 48 million. This must be corrected, Chairperson. These are the issues that, Chairperson, the department must go back and make sure that next time when they come, this irregular expenditure, fruitful and wasteful expenditure, are things of the past. And management must be, Minister, Deputy Minister, the senior management must make sure that they get their acts in line and correct, because it cannot be tolerated that the senior managers, the people that we pay so much, huge salaries, they come just, you know, to chill, or maybe they're in holiday. The holiday must stop. This is the second presentation that we get from you, where we are not really satisfied, and we are a new committee, as it was said previously, And we don't think that we are going to inherit what you have been doing in all these years. This must stop here. We must start a new page and make sure that we get good results. Value for money. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, let's avoid repetitions, and also let's bear in mind that the longer questions we have, we must expect that we will receive long answers. So let us not be irritated when we get those long answers. Honourable Glenis Breitenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Somewhat covered by the Honourable Moseka Jele. I want to start off, however, by thanking the Deputy Minister. There was a gentleman, Mr. Sean Epstein, he's a disabled person who worked for the department. He was quite poorly treated by them. And when it was brought to the attention of the Deputy Minister, he stepped in and assisted him, and Mr. Epstein has been sorted. So thank you very much. I'd like to know whether the department still has contracts with Bosasa or the African Global Group as they now know. If they do, what is the status of those contracts and what is the value? You also have a lot of acting appointments at EXCO level. This is quite concerning. How long have these people been acting? And when will permanent appointments be made? Then there's the SIU investigation into irregularities of the state attorney. You last mentioned that you needed 50 million for this investigation. What is the status of that matter, and do you have the funds? Yesterday, the deputy directors of public prosecutions won quite a significant victory in the High Court in Pretoria with regards to the immediate and backdated implementation of occupational specific dispensation. I'm told by the NDPP that they have not got the money to implement OSD. Do you have any suggestions about how they should go about this? Are you going to help them? Do they get the money from Treasury? What do they do to comply with this order? Then I have a question for Mrs. Besedna, but I will ask her in writing, Mr. Chair, because it will require quite a long answer. So if it's okay with you, I'll send it to you in writing, in the interest of saving time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The issue of irregular expenditure has been mentioned. I just want to focus in on the issue of the expenses related to the Mpumalanga and Limpopo High Courts. We know it's also now the subject of the SIU investigation. But what worries, Chair, is that there's a history behind this which indicated that Parliament previously has asked of the department how they will go about to oversee also what Public Works and the IDT do on behalf of the department, and assurances were given that the necessary would be done to A, accelerate the projects, and B, ensure that we stay within budget. But now we know that we've spent double the allocated amount. So I think we need an explanation why, in the face of the department being aware of the risks, it was not mitigated. Then, Chair, in respect of the presentation, in as far as it deals now with the action plan to deal with the AG findings, I must unfortunately say that those of us who were here in the fifth parliament, we've seen the movie. So whilst other members indeed impress upon you that this is a new committee and they don't want to deal with what we inherit from the Fifth Parliament, I think it's my duty to say if we compare the presentation of last year with the one today, it's really looks like a copy and paste exercise. And if we also look at the annual report, it says that the Internal Audit Committee through the year warned that there's a slow response to implementing the audit action plan. The accounting officer, who's unfortunately not here today, so others must now answer on his behalf, was singled out as not giving the necessary assurances, as not dealing with the deficiencies in terms of controls, the daily, monthly controls that has led to this really, as the auditor general puts it, stagnation in the audit outcome. So I think that the obvious question is, why must we believe that this year this plan will be implemented if it's really the same plan? In that, maybe just to add on to this, Chair, with your permission, in respect of one issue, and that's the supply chain management vacancies. You made the comment, Chair, that maybe the budget cuts were a good thing, but to an extent the budget cuts have been blamed for the fact that there's supply chain management issues. But that's also not good enough in the sense that towards the end of the Fifth Parliament, in dealing with the way the department reacted to the budget cuts, we were assured that essential positions would not be left unfilled if they become vacant. Yet now it is explained to us that some of the poor performance on the part of the department was because the supply chain management vacancies at a top level remained. Then, Chair, in respect of domestic violence, one other aspect that is, I think, needs an explanation in terms of the annual report is the fact that for this financial year on which it is being reported on, there was no warrants of arrest issued along with interim protection orders. Now, I mean, we can have a long discussion as to to put it bluntly, the constitutionality of issuing warrants of arrest on the basis of one version which leads to the issuing of protection orders. But the way I've understood it in the past and in practice as well is that these warrants are being issued but not executed until there is a further development or a second complaint in respect of the interim protection order. Now, if it is a policy decision that it's not to be issued based on the fact that there's no aurea alterum partem in place before they are being issued, on the one hand, I can understand it. Then the obvious question is when will we see legislative amendments to address the deficiencies? But if it's not a policy decision, the question must be asked, when and how was it decided that it will no longer be issued? Because as I say, in the past it's only been executed if there is a second complaint or a further development in the domestic violence case. Then, Chair, in respect of...
Can I just ask where you're getting this information from that there were no warrants of arrest?
Can I, at the end of my, just, and I'll go back to my notes. Okay. Chair, then in respect of maintenance, previously we were informed by the department that they're no longer going to be dependent on public works for the maintenance at their buildings, and specifically court buildings, that they've put aside a specific budgetary allowance to deal with day-to-day maintenance. But now in terms of the annual report, we see that only just more than half of that amount, ultimately coming to 300 million, only just half has been spent. Yet when we visit court buildings, and it has been a subject of discussion also in this committee, it is so that court buildings by and large need a lot of maintenance. So I think we need an answer as to why the budgetary allowance have not been spent. And then in respect of the anti-xenophobia national task team, the Honourable Mohammed has had some words of praise. I just want to remind the committee that when the department last, just off in presenting the budget report to us, it was admitted that key target dates has not been met. Then we were informed that outside help has been sourced to finalise this national action plan. So firstly, I think we need to hear what the progress there. But what really reminded me of this, Chair, is when the Human Rights Commission appeared before this committee last week round, they explained their failure to finalise their investigative report into xenophobia by blaming the department, saying that certain inquiries were made with the department and certain information is needed from the department, certain, a bit of cooperation, and that has not been forthcoming. So that brings us back to the whole point of we must please make the national action plan and the whole issue of the program against xenophobic violence a priority. Let's not again wait for another wave of xenophobic violence. Let's now get this in order. And then, this question I repeat, and nobody answers it, and I'm going to keep on repeating it. I asked it yesterday of the NPA, I asked the minister today, he sidestepped it. The 1 billion rand that must be found within the budget to deal with government's approach to violence aimed at the vulnerable. The president says it's 1 billion rand, it's already there in the system, it's to be reprioritized, but nobody answers the question is how far has government gone in what achievements has there been in identifying this money and reprioritizing it, and I think we need an answer. Then, if you'll allow me just 1 second. It is page 46 of the annual report where the findings is, or the issue of no warrants of arrest are being dealt with. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Munauta.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Most of the question has been asked as you requested, as not to repeat. I want to pose the question on the acting DG and your crew on the criminal asset recovery account. The departments, they were given 350 million, but your department, Department of Justice, were given 50.3 million allocated to the department. Maybe we would like to know the breakdown. How did you spread it to the divisions within the department? The issue of BEE compliance, in your report under review, you procured the contracts 66% for the contracts below 500,000. 66% of black ownership, 26% to black women, and 16.5% for black youth. That is the contract under 500,000. But on the same year, the contracts above, only 27 blacks, but only 27% black ownership, and only 0.35% black women were capacitated. We just want to know, are there don't we have black ownership who, in terms of the BBBEE, qualify for the contracts above 500,000? Because we saw the majority of blacks, they are under 500,000. Above 500,000, there are only 27% blacks. Why? And 0.35 women for the contracts of above 500,000. Do you mean there is no black women who can qualify to get more than 500,000 contracts? The issue of supply chain management, yes, we appreciate Honorable Horn entertained that. The issue of critical vacancies in the supply chain management. So we just want to know what the department is doing to ensure that the supply chain environment is professionalized and adequately capacitated. What are you doing as a department? And why the head of supply chain management not yet appointed? And there's the CFO who's doing this job, or since the head of supply chain management was suspended. So the CFO, we expect her to be the referee to check what is going on the supply chain management. We don't expect her to be a player and a referee at the same time. So you can tell us, why are you delaying to appoint the supply chain management head? Or why not someone, not the CFO, not acting on that policy? So that the CFO must be the overseer. She can't oversee herself. So I will just have some few comments on the underspending on the critical branches of the department. Honorable Masako Jale said it. The Magistrate Commission and the Administrative of Court. I can't talk the numbers. I'm just emphasizing and support what Honorable Jale said. I won't repeat your head what she said. So it's a concern for us as a committee to underspend on 3 consecutive years. It means there is no remedial action. There is nothing you are doing as a department. It's business as usual to underspend on that branch. You are comfortable with it. Why are you comfortable with that underspending for 3 consecutive years? On the infrastructure, there are many concerns on our infrastructure in the court, Limpopo High Court. Can we be updated? How far with the fixing of the leaking water, electricity, lift, stacking? The Limpopo Court is still a new court. It doesn't have 5 years after officially ended. But the problems there are too much. So can you tell us what remedial action are you doing, except the investigation by the SIU? The Mpumalanga Court, High Court, we just want to know about the issue of access road. How far is it finalized or resolved? How then just place of justice? There was a problem since 2014-2015 of handing over about the contractual issue about the site, or I don't know what is the construction company having the problem. So can you explain to us how far with the fixing of Houghton Place of Justice, Umtata High Court, the repairs and renovations, whether they're complete or not, Durban High Court, the delays due to diversion in the procurement processes, are they resolve those delays? Limpopo Magistrate Court was banned in 2012, and you said that you advertised on three occasions, you advertised tender to renovate it. but we're suspecting, because the department is leasing the space for Polokwane Magistrate Court. So can you give us the actual amount are you spending on the leasing of the accommodation building? Because it might be deliberate moves by the official, by corrupt officials in the department, by frustrating the issue of bidding. You can't bid three occasions, you don't find anybody to renovate the building for three occasions, while the government is spending money on paying the building. There is something. I think it must be a concern to you, even Deputy Minister, for this issue of Polokwane High Court, which was banned, that how can on three occasions they don't find. Sorry? Magistrate.
A quick one, not to interrupt, but there's no water leak at the High Court. The problem is it's on a spring. So it's on a spring. Anyway, sorry.
Everybody must speak through the chair. Because if we can just, we can just have a conversation.
Yeah.
In my defense, chair, he did the
Okay, thank you. We just want to, as the minister, political ministry must also feel concerned about what is happening on Polokwane Magistrate Court for three occasions of finding the bidder, the right food bidder. Pretoria Magistrate Court, the contract has not yet replaced or not, we just want to know, because it's like there was a change of contractor. So whether I replace it or not. So what Magistrate Court, you are still identifying the land for construction. Is the land found or not for Soweto? Is this Soweto Magistrate Court? Magistrate Court, Queenstown Magistrate Office. The project was cancelled on October 2016, and the site was handed over to the second contractor in 2017. We just want to know about the progress. Justice College has the site handed already or not? Number six is about, which is the last question, Chairperson. The other underspending, which on the critical program, litigation and legal services, constitutional development also was underspent. The litigation, the legal services, you underspent, you use only 96.7%, you underspent 16.6 million. Constitutional development, you only utilize 18.8%, and you underspent by 15.4 million. So why this critical component, critical program? You understand. Lastly, about the master's office. Hey, there's a problem in all master's office, more especially in Pretoria, where the chief or the acting chief master's office, because there is a institution, a body called FISA. They did their research. They said out of all master's office, if in the whole country we can have only three working, it will be a miracle. It means the master's office has collapsed, frustrating the victims, more especially the deceased, who want their estate to be wound, the papers between divorce processes. It's like the official are colluding with the opposite parties. If the other party can pay, it means the service of that party can, other party can be compromised. So we just want to hear from the master's office and why for the whole 3 years we don't have a full-time head of the master's office. Because it's like the head, the acting head, or he or she is doing nothing. the independent bodies they are complaining and we also need to do an oversight check with them, mostly on the Pretoria office, Johannesburg, Pietermaritzburg, so that we can see out of ourselves. The frustration there to the poor people is more than what we can be talking now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I think I've been covered by Honorable Mlauzi on the issue of the Master's Office. I agree with you. But I want to say that the 3 years of the acting for the acting Chief Master, things are better, if I can tell you, because you go there and look for a file forever. But when you say that it's colluding and all that, I will agree with you fully. There are a number of things that are happening there, and that one would not say that there's nothing. If you look at the flight number 50, maybe to cover up on the last part that we're talking about, they are saying that there were 31,426 letters of authority, and then they were also showing that those were issued. But in going further, it says they don't talk about their reissued one. If you issue, there are complaints, there are challenges. You know what I'm talking about, acting Chief Master. There's no way where you report that they were contested, there were so many that were reissued, or there are so many that are in court. What are the challenges there that I wish you can actually indicate? And then the other part is on the domestic violence, which I think all of us have touched on it. I'm worried about what is said on the first section, on the policy update. It's saying that the Domestic Violence Act is actually still on review. And the question is for how long? Because it's 2018, 2019, we are left with a few months. But I don't think anything, I don't see anything happening. And I'm speaking this from the being a woman activist. And I'm saying that the Summit Against Gender-Based Violence is caused by this very same violence, Domestic Violence Act. And to indicate also that is that you have this directory, Deputy Minister, and I wish that this directory is the first thing that you can just go and to say what is here. What Honorable Horn raised now about the warrant of arrest, where somewhere it says step three, a magistrate consider the application. But on number three, it says, in the interim protection order, if the interim protection order is issued, this means that the warrant of arrest can be effected. But how many times do people get that warrant of arrest? Most of the magistrates, they can be how educated or how senior. Some of them don't even follow this. And you can see how I pasted all this, and I even indicated to you that let us not give people this. I've been to one meeting where women drop this into the baskets because it's a futile, it's a useless document that doesn't have the right information. Somebody wrote it not even thinking about what the police are doing here. What is explained in the police, in the magistrates, and what is explained at the police station is not going with this book. And I think we are misinforming people. And next time, because it is an available book, but it must have the right information and it must be in all languages. But as for now, I cannot give it to anybody because it's an embarrassment, this book. Now, on to the issue that actually will be coming, as I don't want to take the time for the chairperson, is the issue of the court services on slide number 35. They're talking about the femicide watch a prototype, and you're doing this because you're talking about the country femicide definition as guided by the United Nations. And I have a problem with it because we have a problem of forensic laboratories, and we just, you know, import things just because the United Nations said this, and we just feel that we are going to do things that way. I'm going to actually show that what you're saying on 4.4. For the 2018-2019 financial year, a total of 19,688 cases on the National Register for for sexual offences cases were ring-fenced for validation. But at the end, you are saying that, however, 4,199 of those cases verified were not included in the National Register for Sexual Offences Cases Register due to duplication. No court orders, etc., identified errors were referred to the court for verification and all those. I mean, this is a mess. When we talk about this thing of sexual, all the sexual problems and all that, but you find an information like this. Going further, you find that you have an information about, it will be on the information about this, I think it's on African Charter for Human and People's Rights. It's on slide 61. I don't understand when we actually will bring such a thing to the people to say the African Charter of Human and People's Rights, and then you are saying that we are still to finalize because of failure to finalize Part B of the report by the Department of Women. We don't know what was Part A. Those are things that, and even if you go to the documents that is a report here, I don't read anything about where it actually gives me the information. That we just maybe give information because we just want to do that. Chairperson, on the issue of the bills, I want to find out when are we going to complete them, because honestly, so Deputy Minister, we are saying that most of them should be completed by there's one of 2018, and then the rest of them, they are for 2019. And if you look at those bills, the question will be, are we really going to complete them? And lastly, it's on the 20 grants that were awarded to civil society. I want to know which civil societies are those ones. The target was 6, there was 20. You have exceeded the target, and then the community advice offices, where are they in the country? Because people are still saying that they can't get enough into actually the community services. I think, Chair, I will also just leave it there, but also mention the issue of the, that was raised yesterday with the NAAA's National Prosecution, about the courts, when they deal with cases of domestic violence, they must train magistrates and train prosecutors, because it's a fact that now we even have magistrates that are abusing themselves. You find magistrates that actually are still having those patriarchal tendencies, but also it's clear that the Magistrate Commission reported that we have a magistrate that has a rape case. So those are things that actually will make us to be wide awake to say we need people to be vetted or be trained. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable.
Thank you, Chair. No further questions that I want to repeat. I just have one request. Slide 66 talks about multimedia campaigns from the department. If you could email us, to email the members of the committee, what are these multimedia campaigns that you take part in, and then we can send it to our constituencies, but especially if the multimedia is videos, it's not accessible to me. So please could you provide subtitles for that, because then I won't be able to forward it to other members of the deaf community, but I would like to see that. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Chair. You know, that brief input puts pressure, you know. but I will ignore that pressure. No, Chair, I want to be very brief. There are just three areas that I want to attend to, because I think my colleagues have covered other areas. I won't go into those areas. The first one, and it's more of a homework, but cause for yellow. So I ask for yellow. The minister that is convened. Because in the issue of the performance section, the targets and indicators, and it's quite a trend. I'm hoping that you will fix that.
your approach on and I can show you an example, but I won't go there. Your approach on setting these targets, it seems to be under planning them in order to overachieve. I want you to fix that, because we can see through it. It just doesn't make sense. So, because you underplan so that when you come here, you show us green, that we take a next. So I don't want to go into that space. I think departments must just, because it won't make sense when you said you've planned for some for about 70 and then you go to 300 that you have achieved, because planning goes with money. So once you do that, it quickly indicates to me that there's a problem here. So let me not embarrass you further and tell you which in the document, because I'm dealing with this annual report. So I leave that chair. I want to just attend to two areas. The part E of your annual report, I'm not doing your slide, your presentation, part which starts from page 282. I'm on the human resources part, and I'm going to stay there. I don't know who the HR person in the department that is here. It's another acting, by the way. So he's the one who must listen to this. So that's one area I want to spend a few minutes, and then I'll finish off with the finances. I cannot go there. Those are just the two areas I want to go. I think, just to say, I like the way you've started this section in terms of the human resources priorities. It really made me to look for the information I want because of what you've just raised. Let me start on page 284, at 2.6, other highlights of achievements. And this is where you make the point about the department is enormous responsibility to support the president, the issue of the commissions. Now, the question I want to ask, actually two questions that I'll put there. So I'm interested, how many HR people in the department that were seconded or involved in these commissions? That's one. And the two, was you've raised that, if you could give us, if not in detail now, you can forward us that, these kind of internal investigations that you have done as a result of these kind of commissions you've done in internally. Leave that page and go to the next page, page 285 of your annual report. I hope you brought it. If you're not, you should know it. Thank you. Well done. And I'm at table 3.1.2 in that annual report, which is about personnel costs by salary bands for that period. I just need some few clarities here, acting DG and the acting corporate services DG. The personnel expenditure column, as well as the number of employees in each. There's the one that is called the other. I just want to understand which one is this? What is this other? Because it's quite significant. And when you leave that, I like the fact that you have ring-fenced the contract levels. And that's quite a number. But I'm also interested in the contract other. There's then a contract other with about 404 people that were there with quite a lot of money. And so I'm not sure whether this is consultants or what. It went up to about 388, almost 400 million, eh? That's a lot of money. So if you can just help to understand who we're talking about there. And then you've got another category, periodical remuneration. Who's being remunerated periodically here? Who are these people? Because it's also very significant. About 580 heads that are getting that. And it seems to be going to about 21 million, if you can just explain that. The next page I go into, I want to stay a bit, is 288. It's very clear, Chair, from where I'm sitting that, and I'm hoping you'll do this in your planning, that it seems that part of the problem that you have in the department is not just finances. I seem reading this page to think that part of the problem you have is whether the people you have add value to the organization. And then I'll give you an example in terms of this page. So the value add, it seems to be a very serious issue for me. Table 3.2.1, employment and vacancies by program. And in fact, the last column also speaks about people who are not in the establishment. So let me take you to your legal, the state legal services as an example, as well as the court services. The state legal services, you've got a number of posts, 2,397, filled 2,039. and still you've got five extra outside of the establishment. So you that's why I'm saying the issue is not even finances and filling of vacancies. You've gone beyond. But yet, this is an area that is in crisis from your report. And so it doesn't matter how many you can get. So there's something else that needs to be attended to, and you need to share that with us. There's no value add of this. And if you can link that with the next table, which is 3.22, and there you go to your 3.23, the attorneys. You've got 386 of them. Post field is 310. There's 15% vacancy. We have a challenge here. So it seems that the problem that we have is not really about vacancies. You have the kind of warm bodies that you need to have. So let me leave that page. Hopefully you will help and clarify that. I go to page 290 of your report. The SMS post information as of 31st March 2019. This is your top management, senior and top management. You've got that number that you have there. The issue I have, which I have a problem, your vacancies. You've got 70% filled, 30% vacancies in your top management. And I don't know how you would survive on that. And then at the bottom of that, the last table, it speaks about advertising and filling of SMS posts for that period. At a director level, you have advertised for 7 directors. And yet, you've only appointed 1. So what happened to the 6 directors that you have advertised, spent money on, people have applied? They're still waiting wherever they are. They've not gone to an interview. They've not been appointed. What is happening? And yet in the report, you said you have not spent because of the problem of vacancies. So can you explain this? Because you've advertised them, 7 directors, 2 chief directors, in terms of that table. And in terms of appointment, there's zilch. So somebody's sitting on it. Then let's go to job evaluation. Very interesting. 291, table 3.4.1. Because here, let me leave. I'll come back to this because I want to link it with something else. Quickly go to the other pages. Chair, go to 297. In terms of your annual report, this is where I think you're starting to see a department that is in a bad space. People you have appointed during this period, this 12 months, in terms of this, it's 443. These are people who came in to be appointed. and yet people who have left the department is 940 in 12 months. And basically, your net loss is 497. So you are a department that people are, there's an exodus of people. They are leaving you. Is it because of the crisis of leadership? What is the reason? Because it is here in your report. I'm not making it up. It's not a dame safe. So even the next table is of advocates. You appointed 3 advocates during that 12 months, and 20 of them left. So there's a problem of retention here. So it doesn't matter how much money we give you. You will give you money, you will train these people, then they leave. But they have decided that you're not a department of choice for them to stay at. So they'll apply to you simply because they're looking for a certain position. Once they get that, they'll go to their next department. You're not attracting personnel. This is in terms of your own report. The next page is 299 of the annual report. You know, this one is about these determinations, the reasons for these people who are leaving. There are big numbers here, and it demonstrates that there's a problem in the department. I'm not worried about those who have retired. There are about 200 of them who have retired. They've reached their time, fine. Let's say thank you to them and make them farewell, because they've come to that point, been there before. I have no problem with that. But where I have some problems, I have a problem with the dismissal and misconduct. There were 60 of those in 12 months, not in two departments, in one in your department, according to your report. There were 492 resignations in this department in 12 months. I don't know if you connect with that. It's a huge. I won't talk about the unfortunate one. At least there were 85 people who died in this department. So they either leave or they die. I don't know what is happening. So you just have to help us understand what's happening in this department. So if you don't leave, there's something else. So I may their soul rest in peace. Of course, I understand. I accept the expire of contracts and so on. So perhaps if you can just help. And then let me go to the next page. The next page on 301, promotions by salary band for the period. This is now promotions. Here I only have got a positive comment for you, because what I appreciate in this one is that people who have promoted are at those levels that are critical to the organization. They're skilled, they're professionally qualified, as well as they're highly skilled, because that's your engine of the organization. The promotion seems to have targeted them, and you've even given them a better notch. So that's just an appreciation, and I won't stay too much, because we're not here to clap hands for you. So let me proceed. The next page is 305, as well as 306. At 305 is disciplinary actions for that period. So for the 12 months, you had 486 people in the DC. Now it looks like there's a CCMA department. 486. What is this crisis? The next page I'm interested in is the signing of performance agreement by SMS members who must sign their performance agreement. This is now your directors, chief directors, DG, DDG. Of the number that you have, 14 of them did not sign. 14 senior management did not sign. And in the next page you try to explain, and because I'm interested to understand, who are these 14? Don't give me their names. What are these positions of the people who did not sign? But in the next page you try to explain, but you fall short. Because there you say some positions are vacant, né? And then you say 4 SMS members have failed to comply with the, and then I'm interested, who's the 4 that failed, and what did they fail on and what are the consequences that you have applied on this. Quickly, kind of run to let me go to leave utilization. Now this is leave. I'm giving you all categories that shows that there's less time spent in doing the work. It's other things. So let's go to leave utilization. Let's start with the sick leave. During that period, table 3.10.1. That table, the problem I want to know that you must help me with, in all the categories, your top and senior management, have the highest percentage days with medical certificate. So it means the senior and top management it goes to the doctor and comes with a medical certificate. So who's leading this organization? It's 76%. All other categories are less than that. This is here in your report. Now, you leave that in the same. In terms of the cost to the employee to the same, it's the highest. So this, because the senior management are costing the employer more, just in terms of your sick leave and all of those kind of things. So you don't know at what point where this, and I'm raising these issues so that in your Leokutla, and when you come back here, you're able to both human resources about the people who drive this organization. We can give you all the ideas, but if you're not going to be able to do this, then I'm afraid I don't think you'll be able to help us. Let me leave that chair and go to briefly the report on the finances before you remove me from the chair, from the mic. And it will be a quick one with the CFO. I'm using this the reflection of financial performance. I'm not using the one that you changed for today, so you I don't have that. But you'll answer from this. I'm interested there on the summary audit outcomes. Vote budget 19.2 billion, of course, qualified. You say improved performance information from 8 indicators to 5 indicators. This is now, it was from 8. Now you left with 5. Are you able to indicate to us that these already being attended to, and they will be fixed when we listen to the next annual report. In the next page, Auditor General Audit Outcomes, and it gives you from 2016, 2017 up to 2018, 2019. I just want to remark on this, because on the first day it was only immovable tangible capital assets that was a problem. But it seems that it has grown. Instead of that, they became more other things. Then you have contingent liabilities in 2017-2018, and then this is where the problem is. In the next year, 2018-2019, still contingent liabilities. Because AG would give you this and there's an action plan. So it seems that you're either failing to deal with that action plan from the AG than when things are recurring, as you see them here. And the next one is your leave entitlement, which goes to the issue of the magistrate, and I think the report details that. Then you speak about intangible assets. I don't know whether it's movable or not movable in terms of, and then again the same movable tangible assets are being attended to in 2018-19. So the issue is there's consistent recurring of problems. So does it mean that your action plan did not succeed? And why must we hope that it is going to be fixed now that the minister is saying let's have a plan? So share that with us. So then the next page is the same thing. It's qualification coming from the old issues, not the new issues. This is where your problem is. The old issues is that you are not attending before you deal with the new ones. Then you... I just have a lastly, Chair, as I pause. I just have a problem when you on the now new ones. on the qualifications from the AG. And it's now growing. It's quite a lot. This is the five that you're referring to. But the actions required, you are saying you want to enter into negotiations with the office of the AG to implement a new system. And I'm like, what are these negotiations about? Because I think quite early on, which is something that later on you've accepted, that you seem to have said there are inconsistencies from the AG compared to their previous thing. And I'm not sure whether you want to spend energy fighting those inconsistencies instead of doing the kind of work that must be done. The last one, Chair, is emphasis of matter, material misstatements, corrected, the leave provision, magistrate leave, immovable property, I accept it's not easy to deal with, performance information. And I want to make this point, you should never be found wanting on performance information. To a point, it's an emphasis of matter. This is something in your control. You can't blame a third party. You are found wanting on your own performance information. Exactly the point I was making earlier on. You underplan in order for you to overachieve. And here, it is coming back to bite you. So I pause there, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. What I would suggest we do is to break for 10 minutes so that the department has time and under the guidance of the Deputy Minister to plan amongst themselves who's going to be answered what. We will use that time to quickly grab something to eat. We'll come back at 10 past 1 to get answers from the department, and then we take it from there.